At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and compare the players, but I think it's fair for me to compare the situation. I do. Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, two of the best that ever did it at their position and anybody else's position on defense. You agree?
Yes, of course.
Who was the heart and soul of that defense?
Ray Lewis.
At times, Ed Reed was the best player on the defense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But who was the heart and soul?
Ray Lewis.
Why?
Everything. I mean, his whole persona, his leadership, the squirrel dance, the way he was, his work ethic. I mean, not that Ed didn't have it. Just Ray was more vulgar. Ed was very mercurial. He was not that guy. He was very much to himself. He's as lone a wolf as there ever was. Just an incredibly talented guy and someone, you know, I'm very fond of, as you know.
I think in spite of you saying, Ed, that Kyle Hamilton was a bad draft pick, he's the best player.
Excuse me. What? Who said what?
That was me.
That was you.
Kyle Hamilton is the best player on this defense.
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith is the heart and soul.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think he's the heart and soul. To me, heart and soul doesn't mean you're the best player. It just means they go by you.
Yeah.
I mean, you rally the troops. You're the leader.
Yeah.
Even the best player follows you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kyle Hamilton follows Roquan. Kyle Hamilton can't be the heart and soul if Kyle Hamilton follows Roquan. I just think he is that guy.
I think he is. And I think very often those guys who are the heart and soul of the defenses, very often they are linebackers. Given the personality of linebackers, the position they play, just a lot. Just because if you think about the great defenses, or even teams that weren't great, but people had great linebackers, like the 49ers is Fred Warner. You think about him. If you think about, you know, obviously with the Ravens, it's Ray Lewis. Mike Singletary with the Bears, Dick Butkus with the Bears. You know, pick a team that had, you know, even go way back to the Steel Curtain days. You know, Jack Lambert was the heart and soul of that defense. Joe Green was great. Jack Lambert was the heart and soul. And, you know, Luke Kuechly with the Panthers. Not a great team, but he's the guy. You know, it's when you have a really good inside linebacker, particularly, he is. I mean, Lawrence Taylor, outside linebacker. But he was the heart and soul of that Giants defense.
Some would say you Harry Carson.
Yeah, some would. Absolutely. Because yeah, Carson was another great player, quieter player, obviously. Different kind of leadership.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. This defense, I think, is going to be very good, Ed. I think it's going to be overshadowed by an historic offense, but I think they're going to be very good.
Good. I hope they are, because that means it's going to be an amazing team. But I think you're right. I think you're going to see the number one offense in the league come out of the city, and I think you're going to see a top five defense. So I just think it's going to – I'm extremely optimistic, as a lot of people are, about the Ravens' season. So I look at what they had. They've been successful the last two seasons. They're 13-4, 12-5. This is a really good football team. And now they look like they've gotten better. I mean, you're getting – besides the draft picks, who I think are going to add a lot and actually contribute a lot their first year – the guys that they've had that they haven't had, like Keaton Mitchell, are back. So I mean, I just think you've acquired some guys you missed for a season, and then you drafted really well again. So I think they're better.
I hope they win the Super Bowl for so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, I hope Eric DaCosta takes the most expensive cigar, light it up, and put the ashes out on the heads of the people that criticize it. Yeah, that's what I want. I know that's petty, but that's what I want. Because the roster has been exceptional. You couldn't ask, you can't ask for better rosters than he's put together. Putting together a roster doesn't mean winning the Super Bowl. But if that's my job, that's my job. It's my job to put the roster together. It's your job to do something with that roster. The rosters that he's put together over the last 5 years have been unbelievable, specifically over the last 2 or 3 years. I love it. I love the work that he and his guys have done, the scouting, the trades, the free agency, you name it. They've done everything from that office, Ed, that you need to do to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the whole team. And the one thing we're not even discussing is how much better special teams look. I mean, the kicking game was not great last year. We know that. I mean, Tucker had an un-Tucker-like season for, I think, pretty obvious reasons. A lot on his mind. And now you look like you got a true punt returner, which we haven't had in a long time. And kick returners. Because the last time I think we had really electrifying kick returners was Jacoby Jones. And we haven't had that in a long time. And so, I mean, you look at the offense is incredible. The defense is really, it's much improved, going to be very good again, because they were good the second half of last season. And you combine that with the special teams, which has been a hallmark of this team for years. They've always had good special teams coaches, good special teams players. Teams is going to be good as well as the offense and defense. They're pretty solid everywhere.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I want to hear from you. Who's the heart and soul of this defense for the Baltimore Ravens? Is it Roquan or is it Kyle Hamilton? I think Roquan all the way. And again, that doesn't mean that I think Roquan is the best player on defense, because I think that's Kyle Hamilton. I do. I think Kyle Hamilton gets to.
I agree with you with that, yeah.
I think to me, the heart and soul is the one who has to take the accountability. And Roquan is the one that has to take the accountability.
Mm-hmm.
How the defense is playing. Ray Lewis, back in his day, had to take the accountability. You know, Ed Reed had to be accountable for himself. Ray had to be accountable for others. I think that's the same here. Kyle Hamilton has to be accountable for himself. Roquan for others. That tells you who the heart and soul is. When you're the one I go to when things are going wrong, because I think you can get it in order, then you're the heart and soul. I just see that as being Roquan. I think he came in for that. I think that's why he got paid. He got paid not only because of his ability, naturally, but he's got paid based on other things that he brings to this team, like leadership.
Yeah, because it matters. I mean, it matters a lot. It's one of those things, you know, the intangibles they like to talk about, but it really does matter. It matters in all sports. And very often the guy who leads the team is not the best player on the team.
You know, I remember someone saying that Cal Ripken, when he was the best player on the team, winning the MVP in 83, it wasn't his team.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had guys like Eddie and Ken Singleton and so many other veterans. And Jim Palmer was on that team and Mike Flanagan was on that team. He was the best player at the time, you know, other than Murray. I think Murray probably still was. But, you know, he was the one winning the awards, Rookie of the Year, MVP. But he wasn't the leader of that team. He didn't have to be. Sometimes you play better when you don't have to lead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me just go out and do what I do.
And just do my job.
Yeah, you guys lead. No, I wouldn't mind having to do that at all. We're giving out shovels at 8:45. See who's getting a shovel on this Friday morning. I'm out in Houston. I should say down in Houston. Ed is up in Baltimore holding it down at the home fort. But on the other side, Rashee Rice won't have his disciplinary meeting with the NFL until September the 30th, meaning he will get a chance to play against the Baltimore Ravens on the 28th. Raven Nation, what do you think about that? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm broadcasting live from Houston. Joe and Ed back in Baltimore. Joe, you got something for us?
I do. We can give away some tickets here to this band that's playing right now, Stone Temple Pilots. Two tickets to see the Stone Temple Pilots on October 11th at Level 1 at Horseshoe Casino, courtesy of Horseshoe Casino, an all-ages show. Let's do, I got two per, so do 5 and 8. Callers 5 and 8.
Okay, give me a Stone, what is it called?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Give me a Stone Temple Pilots song. Is this playing right
this,
here?
Yeah, one right here. This is one of the more popular ones. There are some other ones you've definitely heard. They play them at Orioles games pretty often.
All right. I do know this one. I know this one.
Yeah, you don't. This was...
I just didn't know the artist. I know this one. All right. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice will not hear his hearing or have his hearing with the NFL until September the 30th, meaning he will be eligible to play against the Baltimore Ravens on the 28th. Ed, do you have a problem with that?
Not really. I mean, let's see. To play against the Ravens, I mean, the problem I have with this is people always think the Chiefs get favoritism, and I don't disagree with the officiating. I don't know. I'm very torn about this one because I'm suspicious as well. I really am because of who it is, what team it is, I mean, in particular, not who it is. I think they should deal with it now. And I do kind of think, in a way, they want to, you know, let him play. Maybe I'll reverse my field. I do think they want to see him play against the Ravens, because it makes it from a better game if he's in. But as far as favoritism, I'm not so sure. But I guess I don't have a big problem with it. They should play whoever they have to play.
Now the problem is they couldn't agree with the length of the suspension. That's why this thing is being pushed back some. And the NFL, it would be unprecedented to have paid leave. You know what I mean, we're gonna put them on leave until we come up with a disciplinary action because these are games and games are limited and there's no other way you can do this. I know it's the Chiefs and it looks again like they're receiving preferential treatment, but under these circumstances, considering this is when you could have it, that's when you could have it. You know, I it's unfortunate, but I don't think this is a Chiefs thing.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I just think it's it makes for great conversation.
If I'm not mistaken, Sue Robinson is the one to set this date.
Yeah.
She's the one to set the date. So I don't know if this is an NFL thing.
I don't think so. I don't know if it is either. And again, I just think it's a it's something that makes a great conversation, and it can get people talking about this because it's Ravens, Chiefs, and all this other stuff. And of course, the Chiefs have become the Patriots of this decade. So yeah, I mean, it's fun to talk about it. I just don't know if that's the case here. Now, I don't think it's that big a deal, really.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't don't know it, Dan Graziano, ESPN, reported that Sue Robinson, her schedule is what made this on September the 30th. Mm-hmm. Now this could happen also, Ed. If Rice's legal counsel agrees to the length of suspension, this all may be moot.
Say it again?
If Rice's legal counsel agrees to the length of the suspension.
Yes, okay.
That's what this is about. This is about not liking the length of the suspension.
Yeah.
If they turn him and agree to it, then this is a moot point, and he probably not gonna play against the Ravens anyway. Mm-hmm. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I don't mind seeing him. Play him.
I don't either. Yeah.
You play him without Rice in September, and then you face him in the playoffs, you have him.
Yeah.
Now what? Play with him now.
Mm-hmm.
That way you know you have him in the playoffs. That way you know what to expect in the playoffs. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And again, it's just we're making much ado about nothing, in my opinion. Now, for me, in general, the suspension should have been held up.
It should have been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been held up.
Yeah.
I don't see why. It's not when he's getting suspended or all those things. This thing should have been done, taken care of, and move on. It's happened a while ago. But the NFL, we all know about his about the judiciary system in the NFL. It's not consistent at all.
It's not consistent even a little bit. Not even a little bit. That's my biggest gripe with him. I don't know what to believe because it's so inconsistent. You know, we can go down the list of, you know, from Ray Rice to Hardy to Zeke Elliott. You know, you get a woman, the NFL investigates, says the complaint is not believable.
Still suspended.
Yeah, you have a female investigator talking to another female. She says, I don't believe her, and you suspend them anyway. So why? You're not believing your own complainant. It just, I don't get it. But that's what they do. That's why nothing really surprised me. I don't know if it's really calculated.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. For those of you who don't remember, Rasheed Rice, NFL receiver, pleaded guilty to two felony charges related to high-speed hit-and-run crash in Dallas in 2024. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 5 years of probation, and he has been paid back to victims for cash. This incident has been raised the possibility of the NFL suspension. This is what gets me, okay? This is a convicted felony, right? He's charged, related to his hit and run. He was sentenced to 30.
Yeah.
Yes, he was sentenced to 30 days in jail and given 5 years probation. That's my issue. This is not all those things that you said, well, some of them. Ezekiel Elliott didn't serve any time.
No.
And he got suspended. So what is the holdup with a guy who was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 5 years of probation? He was sentenced.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless the penalty is so draconian that his attorney won't agree to it. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, I mean, you're right. This is one of those cases where it's not like Zeke Elliott or some of these others that were questionable. He's been found. Because I always say, let's wait until the court adjudicates this. Well, the court adjudicated it. He was convicted. Right. I mean, with his felony or misdemeanors, irrelevant. He served jail time. He was on probation. And so he was convicted of a crime or pleaded guilty to a crime. So now you have that. So now decide what you're going to do to him administratively. I don't know why it takes so long.
He's going to be suspended. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's throw a number out there, 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
And his lawyer said, I don't like 11 games. I like six. Okay. Well, if we know his hearing is the 30th, then let him serve his suspension until we have the hearing. Then we know whether he has two more weeks or seven more weeks.
Yeah.
That's the part I'm not understanding. He is convicted. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail, 5 years. That is an automatic suspension in the NFL. So we know he's getting suspended. So let him serve a suspension. We have the hearing on the 30th. We give him either time served, two more weeks, or seven more weeks.
Yeah.
I don't, that's the part. I don't think it's preferential treatment to the Chiefs. I just think it's dumb. The guy's going to be suspended. So why do we need to let him play until the hearing?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Because usually, as you know, in cases like this, you're not allowed to work until your hearing. Usually you keep you can be suspended with pay, whatever you want to do to him, but maybe he shouldn't be playing. I don't know. I can't figure out the disciplinary system in the NFL at all.
And the only pushback that I can give is this. If a baseball player is suspended and they appeal, they're able to play until they hit a suspension.
Yeah. Again, I just don't think this is a big deal. As far as the Ravens are concerned, as far as the disciplinary system in the NFL, that's a different story. I think the points you bring up and we've been talking about are legit. Like, why? What's the problem? You know, it's been adjudicated in the criminal court. What are we doing here? But as far as if it affects the Ravens, I don't think it affects them at all.
410-583-1057 is the number. I just got this text from Femi Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's a process issue. Every player gets to have an internal hearing to state their case. Until that is done, the suspension cannot start. So the suspension can't start until he is heard. If he appeals, the suspension can't start. And I almost compared that. I just said that to baseball. If a player is suspended in baseball for 5 games and they appeal it,
mm-hmm.
the suspension can't start until the appeal is heard. So, you know, I guess that's the only comparison. And Femi is saying that's exactly what it is. Well, yeah, he may get suspended, but it can't start until he's heard.
Yeah, I believe it. But it's also this incident took place a year and a half ago. I mean, it's March of last year. So it's taken a long time. But the problem was, you know, he just got adjudicated. It took a long time. This is the problem. It took a long time to adjudicate in a criminal court, which doesn't surprise me. So, yeah, I think Femi, obviously, he's correct. He is. Because what happened was, it happened in March of 24. He gets adjudicated July of this year. It's just August now. So you're talking about it's only been adjudicated 1 month criminally.
Right.
So, therefore, he's got to have his administrative hearings. That makes sense. Yeah.
Ben McDonald joins us at 9:15. Thank you very much, Femi. But on the other side, Cordell Woodland tells us what he saw in training camp. Also give his opinion on the cancellation of the joint practice. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:32 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Our man on the scene, Cordell Woodland, joining us. Good morning to you, Cordell.
What's up, guys?
Courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. Cordell, we talked about this earlier and get some insight from you. The Ravens and the Commanders canceled their joint practice. Some of the wording that they use kind of made it clear to me, logistical challenges, added strain on their players. We know the Commanders practice early. The Ravens particularly do not want to. Was this a matter? Sounds like a matter of me that the two sides didn't want to make any drastic changes to the way they go about their business in order to make this happen.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of things that came into play. That being one of them, I had never heard a definitive time. The time frame that I did hear as a potential was some point late morning, early afternoon. Like you said, the Commanders, they practice first thing in the morning. The Ravens practice kind of in the middle of the day. So I think that was a little bit of it. I think the Ravens get nicked up here recently. With their practices and really from the preseason game, they've had a couple of their key guys get banged up, and they really like for their starters to get a lot of run in these joint practices. And you've got a handful of starters specifically in that secondary that are down right now. The Commanders have a short week. I think they have a preseason game that Monday before or something like that. So I think that's the challenge already with it being a short week. And then you take into account the distance of going out there and then coming back. I think, you know, it's a lot. And it's 2 weeks before the season starts. There are more reasons to cancel that practice than there are to actually do it.
Okay. Do you think is there any, I mean, we know the reasons we've heard. I get the disparity in times. I've heard from people that Lamar doesn't like waking up early practicing, or so they change the afternoons. That's why they do it in the heat of the day, which is fine. But do you have any problem with them missing these joint practices? I think they're beneficial, and I don't think it's a big deal, but do you think they're losing anything by not doing this?
I mean, sure. You lose the opportunity to go against another team, to go against a team that you expect to be good this year. I mean, the Commanders were in the NFC Championship game last year, so you would expect that they're at least a playoff team this year. And that's an offense that is really going to challenge this defense with the premier quarterback. They've got some weapons. Terry McLaurin isn't out there, so it's not, you know, them at their best. But, yeah, I mean, you just lose an opportunity to see a different jersey, to be able to match your stuff up against somebody else's. But I think the benefit for the Ravens is that their inner squad practices are already really competitive. You already have, you know, elite talent on both sides of the ball that go against each other every day. So it's not like it's the Browns and they got to kind of go back to seeing their own again. And it's, you know, it's what you get as opposed to the Ravens. Yeah, it'd be great for them to match up against the Commanders, but, you know, they have a lot of competitive talent on their team anyway, so they'll be able to still get that work in. And like I said, I think a lot of this is them wanting to give their own guys some rest.
Yeah, I agree. Cordell Woodland joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Cordell, Keaton Mitchell, 9 carries, averaged a little under 7 yards a carry. Your thoughts on what kind of rep would he get in game 2 in Dallas?
Probably none. I mean, he hasn't practiced all week. Okay. I'd be absolutely shocked if he played, not just in the Dallas game, but really at all for the rest of the preseason. I mean, what more do they need to see out of Keaton Mitchell right now? I think he's a guy that's a lock to make this team. He's going to be the third running back on the depth chart. He's going to be a part of their kick return team. So I don't think they need to see anything else from Keaton. He's had a good camp.
Yep.
He backed it up in the game. And then
definitely the 3, or is there competition for him to be the 2?
I don't think there's competition for him to be the 2. I think Justice Hill has got that pretty much locked up. I haven't gotten the sense that there's a way for Keaton to move ahead of Justice Hill, at least not right now. You know, maybe as the year goes on and if he's outperforming them, then sure. But I think right now when you go into week 1, it's all but a lock in my mind that Justice Hill is the 2 and Keaton's the 3.
Well, the team that we were going to practice against happens to be your team. We were talking earlier about teams that had 10 or more wins last year. Any concern that the Commanders may take a step back? Jaden may have a sophomore slump, anything like that?
Of course. You know, natural regression is always a possibility. I didn't expect them to get to the NFC Championship
Nobody
game
did.
Last year. Yeah. And so, right. So I'm not really expecting them to get there this year. But I do expect the playoffs. And look, I don't know what this year is going to look like for them. With Terry not participating in camp at all to this point, is never very rarely do good things come out of those situations when a player misses the entirety of camp and are still able to go out there and ball out. Very rarely. Either their production suffers and or they end up with some sort of soft tissue injury or injury plagued season. It never fails. So I'm hoping that's not the case for Terry. It just sucks that it's even gone this far.
Absolutely.
But with Jaden, I mean, I think Jaden is an elite quarterback for sure. Regression, you know, again, is something that you're probably should expect. What does that regression look like for him? And maybe he doesn't regress. I mean, some of these quarterbacks, some of the elite of the elites don't regress. They just keep ascending. And I would not be shocked if that's what Jaden does. Even if he does regress, even if this year isn't the same as last year, I don't think it'll be far off. Like, I think who we saw last year is who he is. I've been banging on the drum for Jaden Daniels for years. So I'm not surprised in what he looked like last year. But I think they're a playoff team. And really, the NFC is still wide open, so anything can happen.
Absolutely, it is, yeah.
There he is, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, where can we hear you on air and I'll follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me at Cordell Woodland. You can check me and my co-host Ben Hall out the Fresh Take. We're usually on Thursday evenings, won't be on next week. We were on last night, had Coach Mike Locksley on. That was a great conversation. So, you just listen to the Fan, listen on the Odyssey app. You never know when you'll hear me.
Thanks a lot, Cordell. Appreciate your time, my man. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ben McDonald joins us at 9:15, but on the other side here, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm going to give mine gently, but I'm giving a shovel to a woman who wanted to remember her late husband in a really unusual way.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Time to give out shovels. You have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057, the fan. Joe, can you hear me?
Yo.
It went dead for a second. No, I'm sorry, I got you now. Ed, who's got your shovel this morning?
A West Virginia widow. Very hard to make fun of a widow. However, I find this to be a very unusual story. I'm not going to judge her, but I'm going to throw this out for the audience. Angelica Radevsky lost a spouse unexpectedly this year. They've been friends forever. They married in 21. She's 35-year-old woman. Her husband, I believe, was 55. It's irrelevant. That's not the story. The husband, TJ... They were rabid Steeler fans. And he was very tatted up and stuff. You know, he had over 70, allegedly 70 tattoos on his body. So when he died, obviously it was unexpected. He died suddenly at 55. She didn't want a traditional keepsake. Didn't want, you know, cremation in an urn or things like that. She chose instead to have some of his skin removed from his arm with one of his tattoos. It's a skull with a Steeler helmet on it that was cut from his arm. A 90-day preservation process took place, and they framed it. So she's got a piece of her late husband's skin under glass. That's their keepsake. I don't know how people feel about this. I try not to judge with people. They grieve differently. I find this to be a little creepy, to say the least. A picture of her with her son, their son, smiling as they hold this framed piece of skin.
Wow.
What do you think about that one?
I don't know what to think.
I don't either. They're all sitting there in their Steeler jerseys, smiling away, look like nice people. But it's like, I find that to be really odd. But again, I can't judge what other people want to do. It's creepy, though.
Yeah. My shovel goes to, I guess, the highway department. So I don't know if you've heard about this, Ed, but this morning, 895, while people were trying to go to work, was basically shut down. Friday morning, 895 shut down completely to repave a road. People had to be rerouted because of this. On a Friday morning,
during rush hours,
of all the other time. You can do this. You can even do this on a weekend. I mean, I don't want to be inconvenienced on the weekend, but I'd rather too long to get shopping or somewhere like that before too long.
Yeah, and fewer people are traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's and if I'm not, that would be the highway department, right?
Yeah.
It's uncalled for, honestly. So you get my shovel. 410-583-1057 is the number. We got some callers, some listeners who want to give a shovel. Eli in Parkville, you got a shovel?
Good morning, fellas. Rob, I gotta give you a shovel, Rob. You know who Jack Flaherty is, bro. Jack Flaherty is Cano. Cano is our Jack Flaherty. You gave the perfect analogy yesterday for all the reasons why Cano is our Jack Flaherty.
Why are you still on Jack Flaherty? Honestly, dude, what is it with you? Dude is 6-12 with an ERA of 5. And you're still talking about this dude. I don't understand. I seriously don't understand. I don't get your point. I don't get anything about you and Jack Flaherty. Dude, he's horrible. He is.
Yes, Cano is horrible. Yes, he is.
Flaherty is who I told you he was. He's good until you need him.
You're right. Guess what? Two things can be true, right?
What's the other truth?
Cano is the guy that you said.
What does Cano have to do with this?
Everything that you said about Jack Flaherty yesterday was what I was trying to say about Jack Flaherty.
What?
This is ridiculous.
What are you, Eli? Do you have a crush on him? Seriously.
I know. I'm just saying you hate the light-skinned brothers.
Ed, am I missing something?
I told you this months ago. I said you got hate for the light-skinned brothers. I told you this.
Man, all right, bro. You need counseling, man. I don't get it.
I think the joke that he was going for is he said before that you hate on light-skinned black guys.
He did. That's what he said.
This was like months and months and months ago.
I love Steph Curry.
I'm just saying. That's what it was coming from. I'm sure he's going to call me back and explain it to me, but that was the joke that he was making previously, and he's like following up an inside joke that he made with himself.
He don't like Will Dempster.
Said I don't like Will Dempster?
Yeah.
I like Will Dempster.
I totally made that up.
Oh,
I'll just picture some random light-skinned black guy.
Man, I hang out at Jimmy's with Will Dempster. No, man, don't do that to me. Let's go out to Frank in Towson. What's up, Frank?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Ed, I'm still in the business. You asked me that a long time ago.
All right, good to anyway, know, Frank. I'm happy about that.
That tattoo thing, I think it was armed robbery. Anyway, my shovel would go to the people who elected to have a school start before Labor Day. And then we can do it after Labor Day. Have it after Labor Day. That's my shovel wisdom.
And you know what? That's a good shovel. That is a good shovel because didn't our former governor put an end to that and all of a sudden it went back to before Labor Day? Didn't Hogan put an end to that?
Yes, he proposed it. I don't think it actually made it all the way through.
No, they stopped it for a couple of years. When my kid, I think when Stephanie was a junior and senior, those 2 years, I think she went to school, back to school after Labor Day. And then all of a sudden it went away again.
Yeah, so March 29th, 2019, the Maryland General Assembly has voted to override Governor Larry Hogan's veto of a bill that would allow public schools to begin the year after Labor Day.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's a problem.
Some school districts around here do wait until, like, I'm pretty sure Harford County waits until after Labor Day.
They do?
Yeah, my nieces don't, well, my one niece isn't old enough to go to school yet. My other niece is 7. I believe she starts the Tuesday after.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, I think they should, because a lot of families plan end of summer vacations that week. You know, it's like the last getaway before the unofficial end of summer, and they like to get away with the kids and stuff.
Can you explain to me why they make them go back in the first place before Labor Day? I understand the thought process behind it.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, from the time that I can remember being a child, I never went to school before Labor Day.
Me neither.
And then all of a sudden,
first of all, it's still hot. And we have a lot of issues with schools without proper cooling. So I don't know why you'd give them more days in the heat.
All right. I have one answer here. So they want high schools to start earlier. So the end of the semester lines up with December break. It also allows them to start earlier so those that are graduating can optimize prep time for college matters. And also it helps with attendance issues in June. So they make the ones below them match the high school calendar.
All right.
Ben McDonald joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, there were rumors that the odds of Dillon Beavers getting the call up will rise up this today. You think Dillon Beavers, you'll see him next week. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.